Hello, this is Melody Granger, and today I am with Annie Axford of Sensitive and Thriving. Annie, I don't have an official introduction to give you, so can you hear me fine?
Yes, I can.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure when I did my code that I reconnected. Okay, so you work with highly sensitive people, and I am very intrigued by what you do, and so I've been dying to talk to you for actually a very, very long time, and first, thank you for taking the time to speak with me today.
Of course.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, and my topic as far as working in environments with other people, I see a lot of people that they get sensory overload, and
mm-hmm.
it's a really, sometimes they don't realize like all the stuff in their environment are affecting them. And although I'm not an expert on the topic, I notice a lot of things, and I've also noticed it with myself too, because after I've read some of your stuff, I've kind of decided that maybe I'm a sensitive person.
Yeah.
And so first I wanted to ask you, can you tell me like some characteristics or how someone would know if they are possibly considered a highly sensitive person?
Yes. Well, it is sort of a technical term. Dr. Elaine Aron has been studying this trait. She published her first book in 1996, and she was studying it, you know, before that. So she's been studying it for a little while, and she's still doing really great research and finding out more and more, actually finding, you know, specific genes, doing biological research. And the best way to kind of sum it up is she has created this little way to remember it. It's like what the highly sensitive person does. And DOES all stand for something. So the D is for depth of processing. The O is for overstimulation. The E is for emotional sensitivity. And the S is for sensory sensitivity. So the term highly sensitive person basically just encapsulates that there are about 20% of the population who experience this genetic predisposition towards a more highly sensitive nervous system, which means they have kind of those four characteristics. And every sensitive person will have it to a varying degree. There's also, you know, factors of epigenetics, what we're exposed to in our environment and how we were raised and all kinds of personal factors that will affect our own level of high sensitivity. So some people may have greater, like for me, I have experienced food sensitivity and celiac disease and not, you know, great sensitivity to gluten. Not every highly sensitive person will experience that. It will depend on a lot of factors. Other people are very sensitive to like light and sound, temperature or fabrics. I often get the question like, oh, does that mean I don't like the tag in the back of my shirt? and of course different, you know, coping strategies will affect it and so on and so forth. But generally speaking, I find that highly sensitive people are, unfortunately, the ones who often struggle the most because of this and experience the most disorder, both emotionally, mentally, and physically. But also, they're also incredibly creative. They're artists, entrepreneurs, and so it's sort of a sink or swim thing. You know, we're in this water of emotion and creativity, and then it's how we can learn to interact with it. So, does that answer your question?
Yes, I especially, whenever you said the genetic predisposition, that really was interesting that, you know, that there are studies out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really interesting. Even they find across species, that even fruit flies and pigs, there are about 20% of the fruit flies that are highly sensitive. So it's definitely an evolutionary thing that's happening, a benefit to have about 20% of the population be highly sensitive, and that beyond that, it's not as beneficial if more of the population is highly sensitive as of right now. Yeah, so there's it is really interesting. I think it's important to know that it's not just, oh, some of us seem to be more sensitive, but exactly that many of us. And so there must be a reason that we're here, you know?
Wow. Yes. Okay, whenever you said that, when you were talking about the highly sensitive people, you feeling like they struggle the most,
mm-hmm.
what do you mean? Can you be more specific? Like, I know you mentioned, you know, they're creative, artists, even entrepreneurs. Were you speaking? Tell me specifically, like, what do they struggle with?
Mm-hmm.
Environment?
Definitely. Well, definitely, you know, your topic, what you're talking about, the physical space, that kind of overstimulation. I would say on some level, every single highly sensitive person, even the ones who are really thriving and doing really well, being very successful in their lives and not experiencing disorder, can get overstimulated. That it's really kind of, you know, I joke, it's sort of like surfing, you know, that you might lean a little one way and then you got to lean the other way, and that once in a while we lean a little too far in one direction and kind of fall off. And that's just life. And that, so we can definitely struggle with regulating our amount of sensory stimulation, because we do need enough. And a lot of times, highly sensitive people, especially like entrepreneurs, are sensation seeking. You know, that it's because we are highly sensitive, we seek out lots of new experiences, lots of new sensations and environments and activities, and we want to try lots of stuff. And in some ways that feels really good, but then sometimes we hit that kind of saturation point and it's like, whoa, I just crossed the line of too much. You know, I'm exhausted, and it can be kind of quick to hit us to realize. So I would say that all sensitive people, no matter where they are, experience that. It's kind of like, oh, that's where my line is. I know, because I just totally surpassed it. But on the, you know, far end of disorder, they're just much more open. And so trauma and even experiences that a hardier person might not be affected by would affect a highly sensitive person. So they would experience trauma from a situation that someone who's hardier might not even really notice. So resources and support are hugely important for sensitive people. And some of the disorders, some of the common disorders, I mean, it can run the full gamut, but definitely like ADD, OCD, bipolar, depression and anxiety for sure. And physical disorders would definitely be a lot of autoimmune disorders. It's just a very highly sensitive body starts attacking itself when there's no regulation of what they're being exposed to. And a lot of sensitive people being sensitive means that we're not naturally in touch with our own boundaries. We're much more open, and that we have to go through a very specific process of getting in touch with our bodies. But our challenge is to be in our bodies sometimes. But a lot of times too, the disorder sensitivity is seen as a disorder, and people will confuse high sensitivity with anxiety or depression or OCD or ADD. So those disorders are, I would say, highly sensitive people are more likely to develop those disorders, but those disorders are not sensitivity itself, and that sometimes people are just highly sensitive and they don't understand themselves. They judge themselves for being sensitive and try to feel like they shouldn't be or try to make themselves not be, because obviously we are a minority. And that really a lot, just understanding yourself can help you realize, oh, actually I'm not anxious. I just need to know that I'm sensitive and use this sensory input that I'm getting and be more in touch with my body. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah. This is so fascinating to me. And you mentioned a couple things that I wanted to ask you about, like people being saying that they're ADD or even the OCD. And because I get a lot of people, they haven't been to a doctor or been diagnosed with ADD, but they swear that they are. They're like, I can't do anything, and I can't focus, and I'm ADD. And for me, I like to tell them it's probably just situational, which there's a lot going on, and your body's just, like, kind of going everywhere. You don't know what to do. And so,
a lot of times, I mean, sensitivity is a new.
I was going to say, whenever you mentioned the, just knowing themselves and their boundaries and what they need to do to, like, find maybe that calm place or that, knowing themselves, I guess, made me think kind of what I do, like create a place where, that you know, they're out there doing all this stuff, and then when they, for the ladies that I work with, you know, and when they are home or in their environment working, they have a calm place to, like, gather themselves and regroup or whatever it is they need to do, recharge.
Definitely, definitely. And home space is so important. And how you set up your space to feel safe and to feel that it's for you rather than feeling overwhelmed or feeling that you have to hold on to everything or feeling like there's some right or wrong way to set up your space, but that definitely creating a sanctuary for yourself is huge, because that one of those pieces is the sensory sensitivity, and that sometimes a sensitive person can be super, super agitated just because there's a messy pile of things in the corner, and that's it. As soon as they let themselves really organize that and do something with that, then they're much clearer. And so that's hugely important, to really feeling like you can be in your body and feeling like you can know yourself and take the time to see what feels good to me.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that sensitive people or highly sensitive people, that 20% that you mentioned, do you think that they struggle with organization or their space, like keeping it, or even realizing how it's affecting them?
Definitely.
Well,
the funny thing is, you know, like you're talking about, that other people say they have ADD or OCD, that unless, I mean, that you can use it for your benefit, that it's just a matter of letting it control you, or you intentionally using it. And so a lot of times people will feel, I mean, I think it's common for sensitive people to not know how to organize their homes or to organize their lives, like that they have a sense of things they love, things they like, things they're interested in, and they just hold on to it, and then they don't really necessarily know what to do with it. And that it's more of a process for some sort of people to be able to get in there, and I'm sure you see this in your work, that it really is making them go all the way. Like, okay, so you like this thing, and what's important to you about it, and how do you want to use it, and what are you going to do with this? And so, I mean, I see like one, you know, a common one is just holding on to tons of stuff and not knowing what to do with it, so clutter. But also, even if they're not holding on to a lot of stuff, even just not quite knowing how to make their space their own, like that it's set up for them, still feeling overwhelmed when they go home, feeling like they go home to all this stuff they need to do, but they don't know how or they don't know what to do with it. And setting up those kind of home boundaries is something that's really important and that isn't, I would say, a natural tendency or a strength of sensitive people.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, you know, about the ladies. Majority of ladies, I've worked with men too, but I have no idea if they're like sensitive, highly sensitive, or you know, like what their level of anything is. So I don't have any feedback to give you because, you know, just for my experience, because I don't know if they are highly sensitive or not. But it's really intriguing. Like how would someone like if they wanted to learn more or see if maybe they fall into that 20%. Like, is there some kind of test or, like, how do you identify yourself or someone else?
Yes. Well, I have a lot of the resources listed on my website, sensitiveandthriving.com. But also, Elaine Aaron, who is that researcher that I was talking about, she has an assessment that she has researched and that she uses, and you can find that at her website, hsperson.com. And to be honest, I think it's hard to assess this kind of thing because it is a self-assessment, and every sensitive person is going to be at their own level of thriving. So someone who's really struggling with it would see it as more of a negative thing or would feel maybe perhaps more victimized by it. And then someone who really owns it and honors it and appreciates it or at least sees it as a neutral thing may not experience the same intensity or frustration with the effects of it. So her assessment, one caution that I would give is that I think it is more focused at people who don't understand themselves at all and or understand themselves to a degree but still feel really frustrated with the sensitivity. But it is worth checking out. You can find that self-assessment. But generally, I mean, the assessment is about looking at how easily overstimulated are you, how are you affected by sensory stimulation, how do your emotions affect you, do you have kind of this rich inner life, you know, this kind of depth of processing, do you really take things down to a deep level, and so it's not... And there are a few defining characteristics, but it's not super duper, like, it's not like a blood test or something. I think we might get to the point where we do have a blood test, but we're not there yet.
Wow. That would be wild. Okay. I have another question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I know that, you know, we all have different tolerance levels of, you know, what we can have around us or be stimulated by. And you mentioned, like, some people, you know, they have a higher tolerance level and then other people have a very low tolerance level. And one thing I've noticed, and this is very true for myself, if I have any type of stress or, like, anxiety, I am, like, super-duper sensitive to everything around me.
Mm-hmm.
And so could you talk a little bit about, like, what like when you have that stress or anxiety, like I guess maybe like why do we go into like hypersensitive mode, or that's what I call it, sensory overload. I guess like what do you tell people like if they have that stress or anxiety, and it really starts affecting them?
Yeah, well,
How do they get back to maybe where they're not so sensitive or recognizing when to stop?
yeah, well, I would, and I would distinguish between two terms. I think highly sensitive, is that kind of neutral trait. It's not good or it's not bad, and it can be used well. Hypersensitive is when it's getting into that realm that you're talking about where you're over that edge where you're overstressed, and you can be overstressed by lots of things, by what you're eating. Basically, the overstress causes inflammation in your body. So, and when you're emotionally stressed, and under pressure that way, your body releases more cortisol and all of, the different hormones in your body interact to literally create more inflammation in your body. And if you're eating a diet that's high in inflammation, lots of carbs, starches, sugars, unhealthy fats, all, and so these are all just different pieces that can increase your inflammation. So I like to look at it just very factually, that it's not about judgment. It's just like an equation, really, that the more, and that it's exponential. So if you're already a little bit stressed and then you add on another stress and another stress, you're multiplying. You're not just adding. Like if, so if you're already like, if you have something stressful going on at work and then on top of that, you're eating lots of like fried starchy foods, that's, you're multiplying your stress level. And then on top of that, not sleeping, then you're really, you can handle much less when you are stressed out. So just knowing that you are highly responsive that way, you also multiply your benefits when you move in the other direction. So you can be highly responsive in either direction to like being really overwhelmed and stressed out and inflamed, and to moving in the other way, direction. So whatever supports you can add into your life at those times of stress to moderate out that inflammation is awesome. So you can add support emotionally, you can add support physically, having more people you can talk to, more people you can delegate, giving yourself a chance to be heard and to express what's going on for you, to not just hold that if it's emotional stress, to not just hold it in. If it's like practical stress, like I have this deadline, I have a big project going on, delegating, having more people help you out. And also what you're eating. So, like, if I'm going through a really stressful time, I eat super clean, and I eat, lots of greens, lots of things that are going to alkalinize my body. So it really is like an equation. It's not that we're never going to encounter stress, but that if I know, okay, if I'm on vacation, my body can handle way more. I can eat more, fatty or starchy foods and be okay. But if I'm going through a really intense time, I know, okay, I'm not gonna push it. I'm not gonna add more stress than needed, and really adding more supports at those times, eating more cleanly and having more of a very specific and focused kind of clean lifestyle, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It does. It does. Cool. Okay. I feel like I have so much information processing you said. And if someone wanted like support from you, like how do you help people? And I know you have an actual physical office, correct?
I do.
Okay. And then do you do online or virtual type programs, or tell me how could someone, if they wanted to seek you out and learn more, how could you help them? Can you do it virtually also?
Yeah, definitely. I do. I have my studio here in Manhattan where I meet with individuals and groups, and then I also do meet online over Skype and also over the phone. And I do one-on-one sessions. I also have a right now I have a basic program that if you are just starting out, like you're just fresh and you're really wanting to understand the basics, it's a good, really good for that. And that you can do all online. But I am really excited. I'm in the process and just about to launch a sensitive leadership program because really, I think, being highly sensitive is not just about not struggling. It's about leading powerfully with it, and that your sensitivity is a huge strength when you use it that way to know, to be picking up on so much information, to have access to so much understanding and knowledge and such a huge perspective that when you let yourself bring that into your body and bring that into a practical environment, bring it into a practice, a business, a lifestyle, and make it actionable, then there's so much that can be done and that benefits everybody. So I the Sensitive Leadership Program, I'm is kind of moving more into the advancement of sensitivity, beyond the basics. And that will also be available virtually. And so you can just check out my website, sensitiveandthriving.com, to see more about that. But yeah, I definitely have lots of stuff for anybody, depending on, totally depending on where you're at, because there is very much a specific phase of just kind of understanding the trait, understanding yourself before you can then find yourself, find out who you are, what you want, what you like, what you don't like, and then really start to express yourself and strengthen yourself. So wherever you are in that is totally fine, and I have stuff that can that I can meet you there with and help you get where you want to go.
Great. So sensitive and thriving, and I'll put a link to your website also, though the audio. Man, I could really sit here and probably talk to you all day. But I know that where you're at, and I appreciate all the time that you've taken to answer some questions for myself and hopefully some things for the other people that will be listening to this call. I've been getting emails and comments whenever I mentioned that I would be speaking with you. So have some excited people waiting to listen. And well, Amy, we can wrap this up because, I could sit here forever, but I think we've covered plenty of information because I know just myself, just processing as you were speaking, and I'm going to go back and listen to this again. Was enough information for me to have learned, and I really appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, and I totally understand. It's a complete paradigm shift to really
Yeah.
understand. Oh, wait a minute, this is highly sensitive. I'm highly sensitive, but and it really, at first, it's kind of just like, whoa, I just have to take that in. So I completely understand. I remember being there where it was like, what? And I couldn't get enough information. So definitely like percolate with it.
Yeah, I think whenever you said, when you were making the distinction between hypersensitive, wait, what were the two?
Yeah,
Highly sensitive.
hypersensitive and highly sensitive.
Okay, yeah, I really liked that. That was interesting. So, okay, well, this is Melody Granger, and I'm with Annie Axford, and we are wrapping up our call. Her website is sensitiveandthriving.com, and I will have a link below for everyone to click on to go learn more about highly sensitive people. And she has lots of information on her website, so it'll be a fun place to go if you want to learn more, or if you know someone that may want to learn more, please send them to Annie Axford of Sensitive and Thriving. Okay, Annie, I hope you have a wonderful, wonderful day.
Thank you so much, Melanie, and thanks for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome. And I will see you around the internet, I'm sure. And I'm going to be on your website too, so I'm going to
Awesome.
go
Well,
look
thanks.
up.
You have a wonderful day, too.
Okay, thank you.
All right.
Bye.
Bye-bye.